our time, please, to the Lord in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee. Lord, we come to Thee because we need Thee. We ask, O God, this morning as we come to worship Thee, Lord, that we might know what it is, Lord, to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Speak to our hearts today. Pour out all of Thy presence upon us just now. Help us, Lord, as we would praise Thy name. In the name of Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. The paraphrase number 30 is our opening hymn of praise today. Paraphrase 30, page 155. The words will be on the screen. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. Paraphrase 30, we'll stand as we sing, please. Still our hearts, please, in the Lord's presence just now. Let's come before Him and ask for His help. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today. We come, O God, to acknowledge that Thou art God. We come, O God, to reverence Thy great name. And Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, Lord, with, Lord, a great need upon our hearts. Lord, we come to Thee because we do need Thee today. We acknowledge, O God, with the psalmist that we are poor and we are needy. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we can say the Lord thinketh upon us. And it is our prayer, Lord, that today You'd come and think upon us for good. Come, O God, we pray, pour out of Thy presence and Thy power upon us just now. We ask, O God, that we might know the Lord that Thou art here. Lord, still our hearts, we pray. Lord, remove every distraction. O God, we pray that you'll take away every wandering thought. Heavenly Father, we pray that for this time we might know what it is to be in thy presence, to hear the voice of the Lord. We ask, O God, that we may be like John of old in the presence of God on the Lord's day. O God, we pray that we might know what it is to feel the presence of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord. Come, O God, we pray, amongst us. Lord, touch our hearts, we pray. Challenge us, O God, we ask of thee. Lord, we pray now that even, Lord, as we come to this time of worship, Lord, that we might be lifted heavenward. Lord, we'll be taken out, Lord, of the mundane. We'll be taken, Lord, away from the earthly. We'll be taken away, Lord, from the temporal. Lord, we'll forget for this time the things of this earth. Lord, that we'll be taken up with the Lord. Lord, we'll be taken up with the Word of God. O God, we pray you'll help us to be taken up with our worship of the true and the living God today. Lord, come amongst us just now. Our Father, we pray that you'll be pleased to presence thyself, Lord, with each and with all today. We've gathered in the house of the Lord. We pray, Lord, be pleased to come. And Lord, speak to every wailing heart. Lord, there is a multitude of needs, Lord, gathered here today. Yet, O God, we thank thee that we come to the one who's able, well able, to meet every need. Therefore, O God, we pray, come. Lord, to we, thine own people, come and revive us. Come, O God, we pray. Lord, speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, stir us, O God, we pray. Move amongst us. And Lord, we pray that we might know, Lord, with assurance, Lord, that thou art here. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember, Lord, those who are here without the Savior, who do not know thee as Savior, as Lord, as Master of their lives. O God, we pray that even this day they'll come and crown thee King of their lives. Our Father, we pray that you be pleased to just presence thyself with us just now. Lord, we pray for those who cannot gather with us today. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell in our congregation. Lord, many who, Lord, are afflicted with many illnesses and sicknesses at this time. Just touch them in their bodies, we pray. We ask, O God, that they'll know the healing touch of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we cry unto thee today. Come, O God, we pray. Lord, may they know the presence of the Lord being their strength even at this time. And Lord, that very soon they'll be able to be back in the house of the Lord. Remember, Lord, those who have wandered and got away from the things of God. Lord, no longer on fire for God as once they were. O Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bring them back to their first love. Lord, restore those years that the locusts have eaten. Lord, those years in the wilderness of wandering. O God, we pray that you'll bring them back to the Father's house. O God, we pray that you'll work in every heart we ask of thee. Lord, work in this heart of mine, I pray. And Father, we pray you'll be pleased to bless the going forth of thy word across our land and across our nation. O God, we thank thee today that even though the day is dark, even, Lord, though there is much spiritual falling away, we thank thee, Lord, today that you have not left yourself without a witness. And Lord, bless the faithful witness and proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today, Lord, there will be that turning to God. Lord, turning back to thee once again. Our Father, we pray, remember, Lord, those who are at this time being persecuted for their faith. Lord, those, Lord, who are not able to gather openly and publicly as we are. Remember, Lord, our persecuted brethren and sisters across our land, at this, across our nations at this time, across this world. Lord, those who, Lord, would meet even for fear of their lives at this time. Lord, be with them. Remember, Lord, those who have been imprisoned. Lord, even for their stand for the Savior. And, O God, we pray that you'll just draw near to them and strengthen them in their faith, we pray. O Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll give us, Lord, a greater love for the things of God and the liberties, Lord, that we have in this land. May we never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Lord, even as the manner of some is. Lord, we realize there are people of thy, O Lord, own people, Lord, who would love to meet in a fashion such as this. We would love to come together, Lord, with the people of God. And yet, Lord, they cannot because of persecution. Lord, we pray that you'll remember them at this time. Remember, Lord, those who are serving thee in far-off lands. We ask, O God, be pleased to encourage them. And bless, Lord, we ask of thee the going forth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be with us just now, we pray. Lord, we thank thee for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, as well for our brother Harry being with us today. We ask, O God, you'll help him, Lord, as he would come and present to us, Lord, the need in Ukraine. We ask, O God, you'll help us, Lord, to do what we can, Lord, to help those brothers and sisters, Lord, in the Lord, Lord, who do not have what we have. And Lord, we pray that even as we would launch this shoebox appeal today, we ask, O God, that you'll help us to do what we can to help, Lord, in a temporal way, Lord, those who are so less well off than we are. So be with us just now. Lord, we pray you'll bless the going forth of thy word, even to the young hearts, Lord, even Sunday school, Bible class, the Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon. Lord, bless, we pray. Bring in the boys and girls. And, O God, we pray that we might see this generation turned to the Lord. So hear and answer prayer. Come amongst us. Pour out your presence upon us. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're delighted this morning to welcome back to Sandown. No stranger to us here, Brother Harry. Harry Kennedy. Harry is here representing Serve Youth. He is a year out with Serve Youth at the moment. And Harry is going to come and launch our shoebox appeal and help us, tell us how we can help him and help most especially those in great need. Harry, you're very welcome, as is your big dad, David. Glad to have you both. And pray the Lord bless you. Thank you, Harry.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, to be able to talk to you about what we're doing this year with Serve. So thank you very much to Reverend Wilson for the opportunity. So this year, as has already been said, I'm taking a gap year with Serve Youth. And just as a wee sort of, as a prayer card out the back, I've left, I think there's maybe only about 50 of them out there. But if you want to take one of these, and it just has a couple of the points of what I'm going to be doing this year, and then it has some prayer points that I would really appreciate if you would take one of these and pray for me for this year, because we really, really do need God's help in what we're doing. So one of our projects is this Christmas Hope Project, and this, as you can see, is being done with Faith in Action, Donald Fleming, and that organisation. So if you can hit the next slide, please. So we're working in Ukraine. Now, I'm not going to go over the details too much because everyone knows about the seriousness of the war in Ukraine, but it's a good reminder that this is still going on. There's been 8 million Ukrainians have left Ukraine to other countries, the likes of Poland, Lithuania, and then out as far as here. But then within Ukraine, there is still millions of people living there. At the start of this year, it was expected that there would be 9 million people living in Ukraine without any energy. You know, so trying to bring up kids and a family in a home where you can't power anything, that's a really, really difficult thing to think about. So what we're going to be working, or the people we are doing this project for, live in the Bakhmut and Donetsk regions. So as you can see on my very high-tech graph I've done here for you, this is just a map of the BBC, and all it is a map of the front line. And as you can see, these two areas are right on the front line where the fighting is taking place. So the people who you will be helping by taking part in this project are the people who really need it the most. If you could hit the next slide. So what can you do? You'll all hopefully get one of these. They're all sitting at the back. And if you want to take part or if you want to find out more, take one. This explains the project. What it is we're asking you to make up one of these. This is a shoebox, and all we're asking you to put in it is things like maybe children's hats, scarves, gloves, sweets, toys, things like soaps, face cloths, simple things like that. It's all in that list, and anything else really that you could think of that will fit in the box, feel free to put it in. I know for some organisations, when they're shipping it out to Africa, they'll put regulations on what they can ship. With this, there really isn't, because there's such an influx of things going in. Really, whatever you can fit in that box, whatever you want to give, put it in the box and we'll get it out there. One of the things I've highlighted on this, if you're wrapping the box, do not wrap the lid on the box. Okay, wrap the lid separately. We are going to collect them all from you, and we are going to take them to a storehouse basically that we have down at Rushmere Shopping Centre at Craigavon, and it's been given to us. And what we're going to do is we're going to put gospel literature in Ukrainian into this. This is another wee point. If you maybe don't want to make up a shoebox, but you'd like to donate, £1.50 buys us one Ukrainian New Testament. So every £1.50 that you can donate gives us another Ukrainian New Testament, which we can put into these boxes to give to kids out there. One final thing then. If you would like to do more than just a shoebox, right? The shoeboxes are for kids. Each shoebox is going to go to one child. We also need stuff for families. So what we're also asking is if you could, it all depends, there's no pressure, but if you could, a carrier bag full of items, say like shampoo or soap, or with things like an adult's scarf, an adult's hat, adult gloves. Because not only do the kids need stuff, but the adults need stuff as well. So that's just what this wee part at the side. If you could fill a carrier bag or a box with items that would be suitable for a family, that would be very, very much appreciated. If you could just hit the next slide, please. So all of those things would be really appreciated if you could take part in this. And we really, really do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share this with you. But even if you can't help out financially, if you can't help out practically, you can always pray. And this is really, really important. We are running this project in schools, and this is really where I come into this. My job is to go into the schools to talk about this in assemblies, and then that gives us the opportunity to take an assembly and to share the gospel. This is called the Christmas Hope Project, not just because we're giving them hope by practical things, but we're actually giving them the hope of the gospel. And we're able to share that then with the kids in the different schools that we're going into. So, for example, primary schools in Tanjagee and Portadown are all taking part. And then even some schools up around here, I've been going into, and hopefully, I would appreciate your prayers, that we will get into those schools and that they will take part. Pray for safety during the transport. These are going out to Ukraine in lorries. And pray for the children and the families who will receive this. That God will work through the literature that they will receive, that they will come to know Christ as their Saviour. So just leave it with that wee verse at the end. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the aim of this, is to share the hope of the gospel to these people who really, really need it. So thank you very much for listening. And I trust that God will bless you as you take part in this project. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for coming and telling us about this project. So we're launching it as of today. And so if you can help in any way, and whatever way you can, you are more than welcome to do that. And I know whenever we've launched these appeals in the past, the congregation have really risen to the challenge and gone away and beyond our expectations. And I know that this will not be any different. So as soon as you can, get your shoeboxes filled and get them back in, because we have a deadline of the
10th of November.
So that's not very far away. So the 10th of November, at the very latest, we need all of the shoeboxes in, because they have to be shipped over to Ukraine. So in whatever way you can, either buy the shoeboxes or those bags, or even financial help as well, then let's see what we can do to help those who really are in desperate need and who are so less well off than we are. So by helping them, you're not only helping them practically, but as Harry said as well, the gospel literature, you will help them in the gospel and bring to them the hope of the gospel. So, Harry, thank you so much. Pray the Lord bless you. Bless you in this year as well as you seek to serve the Lord with Serve Youth. Now, he doesn't know this, but John will be looking after the project. There you go. Come on. So any queries, direct them that way. But he's done a very good job over the past few years, so we wouldn't want to bypass him again this year. So any queries, direct them John's way or my way or any of the committee, and we'll seek to help in whatever way we can. But we do need them in 10th of November, or even before that, if at all possible, so we can get them all sorted. Harry, thank you. Pray the Lord bless you. Remember the wee cards as well. Where are those cards? They in the back. We'll get those given out to you as you leave, giving all the details as well. Can I just at this stage welcome you all along this morning to your morning worship service? We're glad to see you in the Saviour's great and worthy name. We just don't say that as a matter of form. We are glad to see you, and we're thankful for your presence with us. Do you remember our Sunday school over in Hollywood, Redburn Community Centre, this afternoon at 2:30? Then the evening gospel service tonight at 6:30. We have the prayer meeting. Can I remind God's people, please, to remember prayer meeting at 6 p.m. as well. The Brook Quartet will be here to sing, and then this being the first Lord's Day of the month, we'll have the Lord's Table after the evening service. The Explorers Club will be on Tuesday night, 6:30, and then on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, we'll have a special deputation meeting, and the Reverend Jason Boyle will be along to speak of the work that he is doing in Mexico. It's been a few years since the Boyles have been over, and there have been a lot of exciting developments there in their work in Mexico, and so I trust that you'll come and hear about that on Tuesday evening here in the church. There'll also be an offering lifted to support them and their work in Mexico. Thursday night, 7:15, we have a meeting of church session, followed 8:15 by a meeting of our church committee. Then on Friday night as well is our presbytery meeting, and that will be held in our Castledare church. This coming Saturday then, the church will be open to receive all your gifts and helps for the harvest services next weekend. So from 10 o'clock, we're making that appeal for as much produce, fruit, flowers, vegetables, items, whatever you think will be useful. If you could bring it to the church for 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and that will be much appreciated. Then we have our harvest services next Lord's Day, 11:30. We start off, the Reverend Paul Foster from Dermoor will be the preacher, and Joseph and Sandra Kenaway will be back to sing with us. And then on next Sunday evening, our brother John Weir will be here to preach, and also our brother Jonathan Mitchell to sing. There'll be supper for everyone after the meeting next Sunday night. And then the harvest meetings continue and conclude the following Monday night, tomorrow night week. And again, our brother John Weir will be preaching, and Peter Mander and Philip Bowles will be singing in the will of the Lord. So make these meetings known, and invite others along to the special harvest Thanksgiving services next weekend, next Sunday, both services, and next Monday night at 8 o'clock as well. As we said last Sunday night, we want to do it again this morning, express our sympathies to our sister Jean McVeigh, on the death of her sister Greta last Lord's Day, and to Jean, to Ian, and to all the family, to Richard, and to Christy as well, be Richard's aunt. We want to assure them of our prayers and pray the Lord will draw near to them at this time of loss. Jean has a little card she has asked me to read out to you. Dear Reverend Wilson, Session and Sandown Congregation, just to say a big thank you for all the lovely cards, text messages, telephone calls, and above all, your prayers during the time of my sister Greta's death and burial. It was such a comfort to us during this difficult week. Yours in our Saviour's name, Jean, Ian, Boys, and family. And do continue to remember the family in your prayers, please. We've been asking you to pray for that wee fella, Tom Gibson, who had that very serious accident just over a month ago now. Tom has got home out of hospital, and that is a big step forward. He's still not able to walk, but that hopefully will come. But do remember Tom and his family in your prayers, and they have asked me to thank you for praying for them so faithfully, and we're thankful for the Lord's hand that has been upon me, Tom, at this time. Now, there are a few with significant birthdays this week, and I have to announce two of them. One of them was my own daughter, Leah. Leah turned 18, and she's up there working at the recording, so Leah turned 18. Imagine you're thinking yourself, you're too young to have a daughter that age. I know that, but there you go. The oil of Ulay is working wonders for me. But there you go. But also, someone else has a significant birthday, and that is our sister Irene Lewis. Now, I don't see her here this morning, but don't worry, we'll make sure we announce it when we next see her. So she has a significant birthday as well. I'm not saying her age at all. A few CDs for you. Sam Houston's brought out another CD. It's priced £14. And if you like a copy, take one with you and you can pay at another time. And I think there is still one, if not more, of Stephen Greer's CD that was brought out last weekend. It's priced £15, and you can take that. If there are none left, then we'll see if we can get some more. Do remember the boxes there for your tithes and for your offerings as you leave. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, we make them subject to the will of the Lord. Let's turn to another hymn at this stage, 482. 482, the page 370. If you're following in the hymn book, the words will also be on the screen for you. 482. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. We'll stand as we sing this hymn, please. Testament book of Amos and the chapter 6. Amos chapter 6, towards the end of the Old Testament. And we're going to read the first six verses of this chapter together, please. Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6, and let's hear the word of the Lord. Amos chapter 6, verse number 1, there we read, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye on to Chaldean Sea, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, and then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. We'll end there at verse number 6. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Verse number 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Let's seek God's help, please, as we come to his word just now. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy presence with us already today. We ask, O God, that as we, Lord, we launch this shoebox appeal, we ask, O Lord, that you'll give us, O Lord, a heart to seek to do what we can in a practical way to help, Lord, those who are less well off than ourselves. We ask, O God, that you'll give us, Lord, a burden, not only to help them practically, but also to continue to remember them prayerfully. Heavenly Father, we pray that even as these boxes, Lord, would be distributed, Lord, as the gospel literature is, Lord, read as well, we pray, Lord, that many will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray. Bless Harry, and bless Phil, bless all the Serve Youth team, we pray. Lord, encourage them at this time, and may, Lord, we see the Lord's hand upon this appeal at this time. Lord, we pray now as we come to the Word of God, come and help us, we pray. Come and open our minds, we ask of thee. Lord, we pray that you'll just come, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit. Take control. Take control of this preacher. Take control of his lips, O God, we pray. Lord, help us to pray, thus saith the Lord. So hear and answer prayer. Continue to be with us just now. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. It was an age of prosperity and military might, because Israel at this point in its history was really at the height of its political and economic power. It was a powerhouse of strength. War had eased. The economy was booming. The rich were getting richer, and many were enjoying the benefits of an economic surge. But along with this period of prosperity, there was rising idolatry and rising immorality in the nation. Because you see, while the economic temperature of the nation may have been high, the spiritual temperature of the nation was low. And how often those realities run side by side. Economic prosperity and spiritual apostasy. A time of complacency and a time of spiritual apathy. And it is into this scene, into this period of time, God sends his man Amos. Amos was a man of the wilderness. He was a shepherd. He was tending sheep when the Lord called him to be his spokesman to this apathetic age. And the message that he had to bring was very sharp. It was very severe. And as we will see this morning, it was cutting right to the very core. So he comes with this message from God. As he calls the people back to God, as he seeks to shake the people out of their spiritual indifference that they were in. And then as we come to Amos chapter 6, we find this rallying call to the people of God, a call to the slumbering saints, a call to those who were spiritually sleeping and spiritually unconcerned, a people who, as he describes in verse number 1, were at ease. A people who become so comfortable with this world. A people who have been sufficient with the world's materials and goods. And as a result, sadly, they have become at ease in Zion. It was his desire, the desire of the prophet Amos, speaking, of course, under the inspiration of God, to awaken them and to shake them and to take them out of their spiritual sleep and to call them to greater service and love for the Lord. And surely the message of Amos is still needed today. Surely we need to hear the call to awaken out of the spiritual sleep that we're in, the indifference, the coldness of the Church of Jesus Christ today. As you survey the state of the church today, are we not at ease? Are we not slumbering? Are we not spiritually complacent and spiritually indifferent? Are we not cold and barren, with little or no burden for the world that's lost around us and going to hell? Have we lost the zeal and the fervor that we used to have? Have we become so comfortable in this world that we don't care about the things of God as once we did? Well, here is a warning. Here is a call to slumbering saints, to those who are at ease in the church, in their Christian life, just plodding through, just ticking the boxes, just doing what you can to ease the conscience a little, yet no fire, no desire. Here is a call to a people who are at ease in Zion. I want us to see, first of all, here the symptoms of this spiritual ease. The symptoms of this spiritual ease, because not only does the prophet speak about this ease, he also goes on to tell some of the telltale signs, some of the symptoms of this plague of spiritual ease. The first symptom I want you to see here is that there's self-security. Self-security. Verse number 1. He says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Zion's a hill in Jerusalem. It was the site of the temple. It was the place of worship. It was the dwelling place of Jehovah. It was a very important place spiritually. And you see, the people to whom Amos is speaking here is those that have an attachment to a spiritual house, to a spiritual place. Here were people, they haven't gone after idolatry. Here were people who hadn't fallen into the rites and the ceremonies of paganism and false gods. Here were a people who were fundamental. Here were a people who were conservative. Here were a people who were traditional in their faith and in their belief system. Here were a people who had an attachment to the true God and to the proper worship of God. You couldn't fault their theology. They weren't sitting in some liberal apostate place of worship where they heard the word of God being butchered or sidelined or just not even mentioned. Oh, the very thought of such preaching would have been an abhorrence to these people. They're in a Bible-believing church. But in that place, they are at ease. These were good people. These were people who would cross every T and dot every I, theologically speaking. And yet the problem is they have become stale and sleepy in their service for the Lord. They have become cold at heart. They become distant from the things of God. They had an attachment with a Bible-believing witness, a place of worship, but their love for God had grown cold. They had become at ease. They were sleeping. And as a result of that, they felt a sense of self-security. Well, I'm not an apostate. I don't sit in apostate churches. I don't sit listening to liberal preachers. I sit in a church where, by the help of God, the word of God is faithfully preached and taught. But we are at ease. There's a sense of self-security. There's another symptom here. Not just of self-security, but also of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness in verse number 1. talks about those that trust in the mountain of Samaria. The mountain of Samaria was a stronghold, safe place for the people. And on over in John chapter 4, we read about the woman at the well. And she talked about her fathers worshipping in the mountain of Samaria. It gave a sense that all was okay. It gave a cloak of self-righteousness. And is that not the plague of the Church of Jesus Christ today? People who are just self-righteous. People who are content just being safe and content and comfortable, just going through the motions. And that sense of self-righteousness has led now to a life of ease and sleepiness. And yet to such people, the Lord issues this word, woe. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that trust in the mountain of Samaria. What a travesty for those who would name the name of the Lord to be so sleepy and so unconcerned in their witness for Christ. Consumed, as we'll see, with their own interests, taken up with their own pleasures, and yet no time for God, no time for the house of God, just paying lip service to their faith and no going forward. Another symptom of the spiritual ease, self-security, self-righteousness, but notice as we come into verses 4 down to 6, their self-indulgence. Self-indulgence. Verse 4. That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. That chant to the sound of the violin and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Oh, here are a people who are self-indulgent. People who love pleasure more than they love the Master. Here who are people who are concerned with their spiritual ease and yet show no concern for their physical ease, show no concern for their spiritual ease. You look at verse 4. That lie upon beds of ivory. They're lazy and lethargic in their living for the Lord. They lie about rather than being up and about for the Lord. They lie sleeping rather than being up working or praying. Verse 4, they stretch themselves upon their couches. Such a statement for the Lord to make. They lie, they sleep, they slumber. They have no concern, they have no interest. They are at ease. And they should be up and doing for the Master. Now, of course, the body needs rest. And you need to be careful that you don't burn out for God. But there's little chance of that happening when God's people are lying on beds of ivory, stretching themselves out without a concern or without a care. Is that not the plague of the Church of Jesus Christ today? Taken up with ourselves, self-indulgent, concerned with our physical ease rather than our spiritual ease. Let's bring that into today's setting. Let's bring that into the house of God today. Because the professing Church of Jesus Christ is sitting, lying about, rather than worshipping, rather than working, rather than praying. Are God's people today lying about when we should be up and about? On a Sunday night, When we seek to preach the gospel and we seek to bring others under the sound of the word of God, where are God's people? Have we no love for the gospel? Have we no desire to reach the lost with the gospel by God's help? Sunday nights will be gospel meetings in this church. But we need your support. Where are God's people? Lying on beds of ivory, stretching yourselves upon couches. Where is your concern or your love for the gospel? On a prayer meeting night, when the faithful remnant of God's people are in this place, where are you? We can run here, we can run there, we can run everywhere, but God's people can't seem to get to a prayer meeting one night a week because we become at ease in Zion. And we wonder why the world is in the state it's in today. And we wonder why legislation is being passed as it's been passed today. And we wonder why there's no interest in the gospel today, because there's no interest in the people of God. We become at ease. No desire to pray for our families. We'll make sure they're looked after temporarily, materially. But are we concerned about their spiritual state? I see people every Tuesday night who can barely put one foot past the other, hobble and do their best to get into the prayer meeting because they see it's their duty. And yet you've got a sneeze and you can barely come out. And why is it that God's house is the last place that many professing people of God would think about going to? God's house is a way down the list of priorities. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, we have become self-indulgent. We've also become self-sufficient. Look at verse 6. Look at the end of verse 6. They are not grieved. Are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. I hear people say today the Free Church is not what it used to be. No, you're right. It's not. It's not. And more than that, it's not what we should be. But don't blame the church. Where are God's people? Why are we not grieved? Why are we not burdened? You look at verse 6, they make sure that they look after themselves. They drink wine in bowls. They anoint themselves with the chief ointments. They make sure they're all right, but they have no concern for anybody else. The church was in difficulty. The church was being attacked. The reference to Joseph there, and you can cross-reference it with Psalm 80, verse 1, as a reference to the people of God, to the house of God. It was an affliction, but they're not grieved. They're not burdened. They're not interested. They are at ease while the faithful remnant work and prayed. Folks, we need commitment in this church, Sunday morning by Sunday morning, but that's not it. We need your commitment Sunday evening by Sunday evening. We need your commitment. The Lord calls for it. Oh, may God give us a concern. May God give us a troubled heart. That we would be afflicted, that we would be grieved, that we would be burdened. Leonard Ravenhill, he said this. He said, the Sunday morning attendance shows how popular the church is. And then he said the Sunday evening meeting shows how popular the preacher is. He said the midweek prayer meeting shows how popular God is. And as I've said and emphasized even in recent days and times in our prayer meeting, that's where the work is really done. That's where the work is really done. What was it that made this church a powerhouse for God? It was because God's people got to pray. Burdened to pray. And it didn't matter what else was on in a prayer meeting night, they still got to pray. God, give us such a burden today. There's the symptoms of this ease. But secondly, I want us to see now the scourge because of this ease. You see, when the Lord, through Amos, speaking to this people who are at ease in Zion, he's showing them the scourge and the blight that it is upon the church of Christ. Look at the words again in verse 1. Woe. Woe. He's not clapping the people on the back. He's not saying it's a good thing that you're concerned about everything else but the house of God. He's saying, woe. He's saying there's an awful problem in the professing church of Christ. People with no concern, no burden. In that little word, woe, just three little letters, you can hear, I trust, the heartbreak of the Lord. The dissatisfaction of the Lord with such people who are at ease and who have lost out with him. That word woe tells us about how the spiritual ease and complacency affects the heart of the Lord. Woe. Woe. In grammatical terms, it's what's called an onomatopoeia. You don't need to worry about the big word. It means that the word itself echoes the very sound that it's trying to resolve. Woe, do you hear the heartache? Do you hear the heartbreak in the Savior as he says, woe. Woe to the slumbering saints. Woe to the sleeping church of Jesus Christ. He is grieved by it. He is broken by it. And as the Lord surveys his people, and as he surveys the state of the heart of his people, you can hear the sigh, the hurt, as the coldness of the hearts of God's people break him. He sees his people more concerned with themselves than they are with his work. He sees his people more burdened about earthly things than they are about extending Christ's kingdom on earth. He sees his people with no burden, no heartache, and no desire to go forward in the Lord. We sing room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified. Not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. We sing that in the gospel. It could be applied to the people of God too. Not a place. Room for pleasure, yes. Room for business, yes. But for Christ, not a place. He sees all that and he's grieved. He says, woe. Woe to them that lie upon beds of ivory. Woe to them that stretch themselves upon their couches. Woe to them that drink wine in bowls. Woe to them that anoint themselves. Woe to them that are not grieved. We face, and I make no apology for saying this, face big challenges in the future. We face big challenges in this church in the future. We face massive opposition in this province as a society. And are we today like the church of Laodicea? We've a name to live, but we're dead. We're rich, we're increased with goods, and we think we have got need of nothing. And yet the Lord says, you're poor, you're wretched, you're naked, you're blind. Oh, we can pat ourselves in the back for the little we do for the Lord when the Lord is calling us to do much more. Are we at ease in Zion when the world around us is down and going to hell? Are we at ease in Zion when the haters of the gospel are increasing and rising and becoming ever more militant, and yet we don't see the need to defend the gospel? What a scourge the spiritual ease is upon the Church of Christ. But most especially, what a scourge it is upon the heart of Christ. Folks, it's not enough to sit on the sidelines. It's not enough to have some sort of attachment to this church or any other Bible-believing church. This is a day when we must be up and doing for the Lord, faithful, committed like never before. There's the scourge of this spiritual ease. There are the symptoms of the spiritual ease. But finally, there's the solution. The solution to the spiritual ease. What is the answer? What is the answer? How can the slumbering saints be revived? How can the sleepy church of Jesus Christ get back to where she needs to be to fight the battles of the 21st century, to face the challenge of growing apathy and indifference to the things of God in 2023? What's the solution? I suggest to you, first of all, there needs to be a reality. There needs to be a reality. We need, by the help of God, to see the reality of this situation. Not to be blinkered or not to be fooled into thinking all is well when all is far from well. The call to the slumbering saints is the same as the call given to the Lord, by the Lord to the Ephesian church when he said, "Awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise. Awake and arise." Realize the problem. Awake from your slumber. Get back to where you need to be with God. You say, "Where do I need to be with God?" You need to be as close to God today as you've ever been. But perhaps you've left off. Well, where did you leave off? Wherever you left off with the Lord is where you need to get back to. Left off in your time with Him, then get back there. Left off in your reading of the Scriptures, then get back there. Left off in seeking God's face, then get back there. Left off in your attendance in the house of God, get back there. There needs to be a reality. But also there needs to be a repentance. And get before God and confess your sin of spiritual ease. The Lord's calling us to rend our hearts and not our garments. Turn unto the Lord your God. It's a work that needs to be done in the heart, not an outward show. There needs to be reality. There needs to be repentance. But there also needs to be resolve to determine to go through with God and to press on for the Lord no matter what the cost. To determine, "I'm not going to be at ease anymore in Zion. I'm going to be up and doing for the Lord. I'm going to get involved in the work of God. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to help where I can." Paul, great apostle, when he arrived in the city of Athens, a city with all of its grand buildings and grand architecture, he looked around that city and he didn't see the grand buildings or the grand architecture. He saw people who were lost and dying and going to hell, and his heart was broken for them. Do we not need to see, not just speak about the spiritual state of our province today? Do we not need to see the great need in our church today? God help us. God move us to tears. God drive us to our knees. This country is crumbling and the church is sleeping. We need God today. Will you be a part and play your full part in God's work? Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that trust in the mountain of Samaria. Woe to them that are lying on their beds of ivory and stretching themselves upon their couches, with no concern about the affliction, no concern about the lost. Woe to such today. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise. As you stand before God to give an account of your life, the only thing that matters is what you've done for the Lord. Doesn't matter about how good you've been to those around you, how good you've been to those in your family, and that's important. It's what you've done for the Lord. Not for any other organization, not for any sports, not for any hobby, not for anything, but what you've done for the Lord. That's how you will give an account. And as the young people were singing last Sunday night, we have to say by and by, I wish I had given him more. I'd wish I'd lived my life more for the Lord. Don't live with regrets, but rather live with resolve. I'm going to go through with God. From this point onward, I'm going to live for God. Come what may, I'm going to seek first his kingdom, and know then that all these other things will fall into place. God, give us a heart. God, give us a burden to seek to do more for him, to awaken us out of the spiritual ease and sleepiness that we're in, to awaken us, to cause us to arise. You're in this meeting today without the Savior. You need to arise out of your spiritual sleep. Dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. You need to awake out of that spiritual sleep you're in today. Come to faith in Jesus Christ. In doing that, then go and live for him. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Let's pray.